down and threaten us.
Is the singularity near?
The military-industrial complex.
The truth is out there.
The seven mountains of the influencers of culture.
To be as gods, you know, catapult to propaganda.
From a mostly secure, undisclosed, split-level location on a cul-de-sac somewhere in the heartland of America, this is A View from the Bunker. Now, here's Derek Gilbert.
There's not a day goes by that I don't thank God that he is a God of second chances. Because there was a long period in my life in which I was living to try to please the world instead of following his lead. Welcome to A View from the Bunker. I'm Derek Gilbert. Today's program is going to be a little bit different. This will be the first time in the going on 6-year history of the program where I've brought onto the program somebody that I knew long before I figured out the path that the Lord wanted me to walk. We'll get into this just a little bit, but for whatever his reasons, he's brought our paths back together today. We're here at the Skywatch TV studios in Crane, Missouri, and sitting across the table from me is a gentleman I haven't seen since probably 1980. He is the founder, and what title would you use for your role there, Ed? I'm going to lean this into you just a little bit there.
I'm basically just the administrator, the principal, the teacher.
You wear all the hats.
I wear more than one hat, yeah. It's a small operation.
The founder and sole hat wearer of the New Horizons Christian School in Milo, Missouri. We welcome Ed Apita to the program.
Thank you.
Gosh, we've been exchanging emails since just before we came down here last March from Illinois.
Right.
But the backstory is that you and I met at a scout camp run by the Chicago Area Boy Scout Council in Michigan in 1977, which would have been my sophomore year of high school. And what year would you have been then?
I was a junior going to be a senior.
Okay. As I remembered it, you were a couple of years ahead.
Right.
But as I went back to school that year, found out upon joining the debate team at McHenry right. High School in northwest suburban Chicago, that you were on the debate team at Maine South.
Right.
and so there were many Saturdays where we'd find ourselves in the same place at the same time, arguing on whether the United States government should significantly change its energy policy or yes. foreign affairs policy or some such thing. Since then, we've traveled different paths. As I was saying, I spent a lot of years trying to impress the world. I went into the radio business, in fact, even before I got out of college. Had thought because I enjoyed debate so much that I'd wind up being a lawyer. But as soon as I found out that people were willing to pay me to talk into a microphone, all that went out the window. Especially once I found out that there are some members of the fairer sex who are very impressed with a guy who can speak into a microphone. That sadly was more of an influence on my career choice than I have ever publicly admitted. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit kind of administered the spiritual 2x4 to my head, and that changed things. So what is the path that you've taken? And then tell us, once we get up to present day, then we'll start talking about New Horizons Christian School. But where did you go after you graduated from high school a couple of years ahead of me?
Well, God's had me do all sorts of different things over the years. One of the first things I did was God had me as a business manager of a rescue mission in Aurora, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Where we worked a lot with homeless and shelter and a little bit of rehab, but that wasn't our main emphasis. Major operation there, and I was there for 5 years, got me started. I'm also a certified teacher. I worked in different schools, did that. I also got involved with the foster adoptive care system, was a foster parent caseworker for 20-some-plus years on the side.
Hmm.
Also was a public school teacher in Illinois for about 6 years.
Oh, God bless you.
I've had quite a bit. I mean, I can go on and on for all the different things he's done. But it all comes together to this, because what I found is there's a lot of young men that need something that they're just not getting in the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
One size doesn't fit all. One size can fit a lot of people, but not everybody. And when you have a one size all systems, a lot of people end up missing out on what they can to reach their potential, dropping
right,
out.
Right. School, public, well, you've got the benefit of seeing what the public education system, how it's set up, and what its goals are. And when you say one size doesn't fit all, what is the size that they're trying to fit young men and women into, and why will some not fit into those holes?
Well, for example, they emphasize testing and they emphasize reading, and some people just are not designed. That's not their strengths. They're not dumb. They just have different strengths. One person may not be able to read well, but he's got strengths and abilities in mechanical ability, maybe in computers, but they only test on one area. It's sort of like when you get a bunch of animals together, maybe the best description of saying it, and you've got a teacher up there, and you've got the elephant, and you've got the monkey, and you've got the thing, and the teacher or the animal teacher there says, well, to be fair, we have to have the same test. Okay, go over to the tree and climb it. Whoever can climb it up and down passes.
Ah, okay.
The monkey can do that, but can you imagine the elephant trying to do that?
You know, our daughter was in the gifted and talented classes when she was in school in the St. Louis suburbs. And gifted and talented really is not an accurate name, but they just had not come up with a better name for it. I mean, because it wasn't that it was the kids who tested the highest.
Right.
But these were kids who just processed information differently. And the way her teacher of this program, which in our view did wonders for her, explained it this way, that most of the kids who do well in school and in social settings in during school age years are like lions. Okay.
Right.
And they're part of the pride, and they're social and they gather together. And then you've got a few who are like cheetahs. Cheetahs are solitary animals, and often they are pushed out of certain areas by the lions because they don't have the support structure that the lions have around them.
Right.
And so the cheetahs will often find themselves at a real disadvantage when trying to survive, and that these kids who process the world, just see the world differently.
Right.
Are often at risk for drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and a higher risk of suicide. And again, it's not that they're necessarily more intelligent as far as what they're able to learn in class. It's just they're processing things differently. They see the world differently. And I've been thankful ever since that there was a program there for our daughter like that. Because I can relate to that. And I imagine you can too, because you and I see the world differently. We don't walk in step with the world. The difference between us, I think, is that I tried for a long time. Yeah. And that's why I got into the radio business and spent years as a top 40 radio disc jockey trying to please the world until finally. So anyway, didn't mean to make this about me, but I'm just curious. Is that what you saw in the public school setting? Is that
right? Yeah. A lot of kids just were not adapting well or not doing well. And then they'd rebel. It'd be tough. It'd be boring. Also expecting the kids to sit still constantly without being able to get up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are not designed or made to just sit there and just listen for hours upon hours.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I did well in school, but how much did I actually pay attention? The teacher could lecture for 40 minutes, and did I actually hear more than 2 minutes of it?
You're singing my song. That's why I always had a book inside my folder there. Teacher would be going on about history, and I'd be reading a science fiction novel.
And a lot of the school day is actually spent doing other things like taking attendance or the teacher handling discipline issues. I have found that if you actually work, you know, in a setting where they can work at their own pace, a lot of times they can do the equivalent of 2 days of school in one day in a very similar amount of time and actually learn more than they would have in a regular school setting because they're not a lot of wasted time, you know. Even the teacher just taking attendance is 2 minutes out of a 40-minute period.
Yeah.
Times that by eight, you know, six or seven times a day, that's already 15 minutes right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep adding to it, you know.
Well, and what about the difference between the way young men and young women are treated in school? I mean, your school, New Horizons Christian School, is geared for young men.
Right.
How are boys in school treated, and is it – and I guess what I'm getting to is I think any parent who's had boys and girls or who's got an extended family with sons and daughters can see that there's a difference between boys and girls. Regardless of what the culture is trying to tell us, that we're all the same and that there's a, you know, I won't go down that path. But I think anybody who's got eyes to see can tell that boys are different from girls.
Right.
How is school structured, and is it structured for young men to play to their strengths?
Actually, in my opinion, it's been structured more to the young ladies. And it's good that we have structure for the young ladies.
Sure.
I'm not saying that, but it's a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
So it's the same way for everybody, and it's not always the same way. Boys don't necessarily learn the same way that young ladies learn.
Yeah.
Young ladies learn a lot more from books and from talking. A lot of young men don't like to talk as much.
Yeah.
You know?
Men don't like to talk as much
right.
either, yeah.
And they learn more from doing. You can learn, you know, some of those young men would learn their math better in a shop class.
Yeah.
Which are mostly phased out now
yeah.
when they have to learn fractions.
You know, and that is true. That is true. And again, not to make this about me, but I found that for myself, basics of geometry didn't really sink into me until I was working as a salesman in the steel industry, and suddenly I had to figure out the cost per pound, cost per square foot, how many square feet are you going to need in order to make a circle of this diameter, how do you figure the area of that circle that the guy's got to cut out there in the shop. Suddenly it's like, okay, now I need this. Now I can actually see what's going on here. And it made a difference. But
yeah.
when I was sitting in sixth grade class, you know, with am I ever going to need this? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, you were. But if I'd been doing it in a shop class where I needed to figure out how much metal do I need to make this part or how much wood to make this, you know, whatever, it would have come easier, I'm sure.
Right. And what I've also seen, too, is sometimes some of the kids get a reputation and the teachers won't even work with them anymore. And maybe justifiably so, because the kid could have been a real terror
mm-hmm.
and real rebellious and real negative.
You get a student here who's nodding his head, so I think things resonating.
And it's, you know, it's a negative upon negative upon negative.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what some of these guys need is just a different environment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a different school environment, a different home, you know, different living situation, you know, different type of environment. And suddenly they go from complete failure to success. Not because they were dumb in one environment, but it just wasn't working for whatever reason.
Hmm.
A lot of times, you know, some of these guys, you know, will do really bad in the normal situations, get a new environment, and they flourish. They're not in trouble anymore. They're actually happier, and they actually start succeeding.
It one of the most illustrative things that I encountered was when I was trying my hand at selling real estate for a while, and our broker brought a motivational speaker in to talk to us and to make a point. And this woman was like all of like 4'10". She called for a volunteer from the crowd. You know, at this time I was like 30 years old, still kind of young and cocky. And so, you know, I volunteered and she said, okay, now I'm going to try this experiment on you. I want you to say over and over again, I am a good boy until I tell you to stop. Just keep repeating that phrase. I am a good boy until I tell you to stop. So, yeah, okay, 15, 20 seconds. I am a good boy. I am a good boy. I am a good boy. She said, okay, now stop. Now hold your arm out straight. It's okay. Now, when I push down in your arm, I want you to resist. Like, okay. Again, she's like 4'10". I'm 5'11" and 220 pounds. You know, at the time, might have even been a little bigger than that. But she couldn't. I mean, she could have hung from my arm probably. She was, you know, like 90 pounds. She wasn't moving my arm. And she said, no, okay, now I'm going to try this again. But I want you to repeat the phrase, I am a bad boy, over and over. Now, I'm fairly intelligent. I knew what she was trying to make. It's like, okay, she's going to try to make, I know what's going on here. All right, we're going to see how stupid this is. I didn't want to be at that meeting anyway. I figured it was a waste of time. I should be out, you know, making phone calls or whatever. And I am a bad boy. 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 And she said, stop. Now, I want you to hold your arm out again and resist while I push down. I couldn't. She pushed it down like my arm was totally relaxed. And she said, now think about the power of the words that you use with those around you. Now, at the time, our daughter was like 2 years old. So that was like hitting me with a, you know, like a 40-pound sandbag, you know, just pow. Because I knew what she was trying to do. And her words still affected me in that way. How much more powerful are the words from authority figures like a teacher
right.
to a student?
Correct.
Or a parent to a child?
Yeah. And it happens more than we like to admit.
So what was it that led you after a career? You know, and let's face it, Ed, you and me aren't getting any younger. We're getting to a point of life where we're coming to the Ozarks to retire and not start a whole new venture. What was it that led you to Western Missouri to found New Horizons Christian School?
Well, I wish I could give you clear, concise, perfect, thought-out answers, but it was just God. He just kept on me for a couple of years that I was to do something, and I wasn't the most receptive.
I can relate to that, yeah.
And I kept arguing with him because I actually had a really good life going, and things were going really good, and I was very happy where I was. But he kept pushing. And Missouri got spoken, and I ended up, you know, finding here, and it was just the way God just had come here. And as it all came to pass, it was real. You know, like you could tell God was in it. One thing that was really interesting and really you could see God in it was I was working with a real estate agent trying to find a place to have the school and limited funds. I'm doing this just off of my money, and, you know, that only goes so far. And he must have shown me about 60, 70 places, but God had told me to take a look at this place, and he didn't want to even take me there because it was 80 miles away from everything else, and he didn't even want to drive me there.
Hmm.
He finally gave in. We had trouble with the car. He had a newer car. We had trouble getting there. We get there. We find out it's there, and I didn't realize it at the time. I'm in the school right now is in the middle of pretty much nowhere.
Hmm.
The closest Walmart is 17 miles away. The closest town of more than 100 people is 17 miles away.
Yeah, that's you're singing our song again here.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but there was a church on the corner of the property. God provided a 23-acre property, mm-hmm. with a little trailer house and a few barns at a very good price. And I didn't realize it, but a corner of it had been taken out to bake a church 100-some years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, in the country, you don't have a church on every corner.
No, there aren't that many corners.
Yeah. And, you know, the church was still there and still operating. I went to visit them, and they were planning to be there for years. I come down there not knowing anybody in August. In December, the church, it was a very, very small church, maybe 4 or 5 people, decided to disband, and they donated the church and the facilities and everything in it to the school.
How about that?
Yeah. Which you can see is God's provision. That's actually the school and the pictures there.
Yeah.
We took some renovation. I mean, it was in good shape, but it just wasn't – it needed a lot of work. We spent a couple of years getting it together.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just see God working. Another thing that was really – you can just see how God was working is, you know, think of all the small town churches, you know, country churches with a cemetery in the backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something you don't want to have with kids and a cemetery right next door.
Probably not.
Yeah. You can understand why for more than one reason. Well, for whatever reason, back in 1888 or whenever it was, the church cemetery was down the road 3 blocks and 2 blocks on the other side. So you could almost see it from the property.
Okay, so it's not on the property.
It's not even next to it. It's like 5 blocks away, which is exciting. So you can see how God was providing everything to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got the property, I didn't realize the church would be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a facility pretty easily made. So we have a facility that's paid for and ready to go.
Hmm.
That's just I find that exciting to see God working.
Well, you know, we've got a similar story here, but we won't again make this about us. But it's similar to what has happened here at Skywatch TV. So the property became available. And when did you move down here?
I think it was 3 years ago in August. I'm getting old, probably. To me, a day is like a year, and a year is like a day.
So what is the program then at New Horizons? What are the goals that you have for the students that you bring in, and how do you work toward those goals?
Well, we're actually doing something different. We may be the only ones. I haven't been able to find a program like this in the nation, you know, that's our direction. A lot of programs go under 18 years old as their main thrust, and that's good, and it's wonderful they're doing it. But there's a lot of 18 to 22-year-olds approximately that don't have options and opportunities. They still don't have a high school diploma. They still don't have an education. They also still need structure. And so I look at it as a cross between a Christian boarding school, the traditional kind for older kids with teen challenge.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not Teen Challenge, and I'm not trying to say I'm, you know, but the idea of having the, you know, the structure, you know, the discipline, and promoting Jesus, you know, through it all. Because without Jesus, they're not going to be able to go anywhere. It is a Christian school, and mm-hmm. we put it right in the title. So it's a program where we provide an education, and we can usually increase the education, maybe even as fast as twice as fast. You know, a student can, in a year's time, can maybe even get 2 years worked out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be able to get an official high school diploma. GEDs, also, interesting enough, are not, from what I've been seeing, is not as well respected.
Hmm.
It's just a test, and actually I took the test, and I wasn't too impressed with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or took one of the subtests, I should say, sample tests. People are looking for a more of a diploma, and this would actually be a regular high school diploma for Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
We also provide a structure. It's a boarding school, so the boys will actually live there,
mm-hmm.
and they could help with work and chores, and it's a structured environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the differences there, and it's 18 and 22-year-olds, which there isn't a whole lot out there for them.
You know, so this is essentially college age.
It's more college age, but we're still going to go back to do the high school
because
mm-hmm. they need that high school.
Yeah,
a lot of them dropped out at 16, 17.
Right.
And sometimes the public schools will even pass kids and they haven't learned a thing.
Yeah.
Just to get them out of their way.
Well, to get them out of their way, but also it reflects badly on the administration if they're holding people back. It's like your graduation rate is down below certain standards, which means you're not going to get the additional funding from the state that we promised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that only hurts the boys.
Right.
So we have to sometimes go back and redo some of the things, especially the important areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a believer that some of the best education are the basics.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't do percents and fractions, you're going to hurt in life.
Right.
And so, you know, we want to make sure we do that. So we're going to provide a, you know, high school education. They may be college age, but they still need that education before they move on.
Right.
And if they get that education, even if they're 19, 20, but if they dropped out at 16, 17 and don't have much of an education.
Right.
They're not ready for college. They don't have the reading ability and they don't have to go to college. Our program, you know, can help them get ready for college, but trade school or just life in general.
Well, and you know, this is something that, we've talked about with our daughter. She's got a 2 years degree, an associate's degree. She's feeling, because again, she took a different path. You know, most of the other classmates, the school district we lived in, the majority of students graduate and went on to college. It was almost like college was assumed, like it was extended high school.
Right.
But what they're finding is that many of these students are coming out of college with, $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 worth of debt into a job market that's really weak.
Right.
And they're not, you know, they're not finding income that can help cover their debt plus an apartment, plus a car, plus insurance, plus health insurance, plus, you know, the things you need to start a life.
Right.
They're already in a financial hole. Whereas our daughter is working, she's paying her bills, and she doesn't have that college debt on her back. And I can tell you from the years that I spent working in the steel industry that there are many places out there for young men and women if they go and apply themselves with a high school diploma.
Right.
That's pretty much a necessity. Let me put it this way. I made it to the point where I was on the verge of moving into sales management had we not taken a different path and come here. And not one single job that I held since 1984 required that college degree.
Right.
But it took me until I was 35 to pay off the debt. So a college degree is not necessary, but you're right. You've got to have the basics, the fundamentals, because if you can't do the math to calculate square footage, percentages, you know, dollars per ton, you're really going to have a hard time even finding a basic job. But if you do that, and then you've got the basics of the structure, where you know that, okay, a task's been given to me and I know how to complete a task and get a sense of satisfaction from having completed the task. And once you've got those basics down, you're already ahead of 85% of the workforce.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can excel, you know, but if you don't have that background,
yeah.
If these boys don't get an education and don't get the structure they need, they will not be able to keep a job.
Yeah.
And even McDonald's will have trouble keeping a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where a lot of them end up in trouble, with drugs, alcohol, crime. Some of them get into it. Some of them are ready to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually aiming for those who really want to make something of themselves. Another thing is a lot of programs just take, you know, almost anybody, we're actually looking for the young men that really want to make some effort, you know, want to actually do something. Because a lot of times they get overlooked because the programs out there will work with those who are, maybe I'll work at it, maybe I'll try, and they take up all the time of the people and the personnel of the agency.
Well, how many of these young men are overlooked because society tends to look at them and pigeonhole them and say, right, well, you're just trouble. And it gets back to what I said before about the power of words and the power of assumptions. You know, you are fill in the blank, and you will never be anything but fill in the blank.
Right. And a lot of times that's not true. Most of the time it's not true.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, God had to basically kind of gave you that little, you know, poked you with a stick, just said, Ed, this is what I want you to do. Ed, this. But what was it that you saw in your career in foster care, in education, that led you to conclude that there were kids who were being failed, that were falling through the cracks of the system?
When I would see kids that were failing and falling, succeeding in a different situation, whether it be, in the foster home I was in, whether it be in a school setting, sometimes it was just doing something different at the school, for example, or with the, with the situations, like with the foster care, or different things that I've done too. I've done youth groups and other types of things too. I didn't have a chance to get into everything.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, I've seen where the kids were noticed as a failure, and they ended up becoming successes because they had a different environment and different opportunity and they took it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone does. I saw some that just would not take advantage of it.
Yeah.
But there were some that had said, wow, new environment, I can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed. That really got me because I'm thinking, okay, that's why they're not making it. I had some kids in the foster care system, that were not well, did not have the best reputations, and I could see the results. And working as a caseworker with them a little while too, just seeing some of them change and succeed.
Hmm. It's our kids are our legacy,
Yeah.
One of the things that really impacted me the most just here recently, I introduced you to a young man next door working in the studio there, Josh Peck, and his wife, Christina. They're expecting their third child. They've got two right now under the age of five. Christina was in a terrible traffic accident when she was 14 and was not supposed to ever be able to have children. In fact, doctors told her parents that she would never walk or speak again, much less have children.
Mm.
And so now they're having a third. And so for her, each one of those children is absolutely precious. I know that's how I feel. I know it's how my wife feels about our daughter, who's going, she's going to be 26 here shortly. I'm old enough to be a grandfather. But
I'm actually a great grandfather for one of my foster kids.
Oh, wow. How about that? But we just think about how many children out there, the system is failing for a couple of reasons, because the education system is there to crank out numbers.
Right.
College is there to sell diplomas, pieces of paper, and there are young men and young women who are not valued, sadly, for one reason or another, and the system doesn't do anything to rectify that. How do you, at New Horizons, try to address that situation?
Well, the first thing, obviously, is make it Christ-centered. Because without God, nothing really goes too well. And then we just give a new – a lot of times it's not so much that you have to look at the old situation, just start a new one.
Yeah.
A lot of times the the professions and the experts out there want to rehash all the old stuff. And there is a time for that. I'm not saying never. But sometimes it's rehash, rehab. You go to the drug rehabs and all they ever do is talk about drugs, which makes you want to do the drugs more.
Hmm.
Makes me wonder sometimes, why they do that. I try to, we're just trying to give a new environment, a new start. Not to dwell on the old, but let's say, what can we do from here on in?
Yeah.
How can we make it go from here on?
Second chances.
We have to be aware of the past and, look at the past for problems, but at the same point, it's a new slate, it's a new start, and let's just start succeeding.
Hmm.
Okay, school was bad. We don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to go, why was school bad? What's going to happen here? Are we going to make it here? Your past experiences, you had problems with discipline. Are those going to be gone now? We can start over again, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go back and say, well, now, why were you causing so much trouble at school? You know, I mean, you can talk about that for 100 hours and what are you going to accomplish? You see what I'm saying? But if you give a new experience and just start over again with somebody who wants to start over again, this has got to be, you know, we're looking for those who want to do something, you know, who really want to make the effort. You know, unfortunately, I think our society has created a welfare system, and you hear my prejudice now, where people just expect everybody to do it for them.
Well, you know, I don't think it's prejudiced because it's not based on race or color. That was one of the problems I heard in the last 4 years as an outside sales rep for a steel company. I was working in the southern half, two-thirds of Illinois, basically. It was southern half, everything south of Peoria. So I was calling a lot of small towns in Peoria, Salem, Centralia, Mount Vernon, Marion, you know, even little towns like Tamaroa and St. Marie, where you've got, you know, small shops, small communities. And the biggest problem I heard, now, bearing in mind that I left just before the coal industry took it in the shorts, and the oil industry in southern Illinois has really been hurt by the drop in the price of oil. But when things were going real well, and I will say this about the coal industry, Illinois has been hurt a lot less than West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Kentucky. The biggest problem employers there have is not finding people to work. It's finding people who want to work,
right?
Because of this sense of entitlement that you mentioned. I literally had a couple of different shop owners tell me that there were guys who would come in with their unemployment paperwork and didn't want the job. I mean, this is a weld shop that could have expanded, could have doubled in size if he could find enough good welders to show up 5 days a week. I don't want a job. I just want you to sign the paperwork saying I came here looking for a job so I can continue getting my 99 weeks of unemployment benefits.
Right.
And then stay at home and play with the Xbox. So it's not a prejudice thing. Sadly, this is a problem I heard most often. The biggest business problem business owners had was finding people who want to show up for work consistently.
Right.
And you're right, because it's a sense of entitlement. The government owes me. People owe me.
Yeah. So we're you know, talking to potential young men that are coming, we're looking to see what their attitude is. The past may not be the best, but if they're coming in saying, yeah, my past is not the best, but I want to do something. You know, I want to change. I'm not going to be perfect. You know, they're not going to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes. None of us are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But if the desire to succeed is there, they're the ones who seem to be get left behind the most in our current society.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have the desire to achieve, because we don't give them the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
They may have had a past that's not the best. But if you're ready to move on, God gives second chances, 10 chances, 100 chances. And if they want to try, you know, we can give it a good shot.
Mm-hmm. So what does a typical day look like? What kind of structure would a student at New Horizons Christian School see?
Well, usually we get up and we, you know, sometimes we get straight to schoolwork. Sometimes we, you know, just get the day going. You know, we adjust somewhat for the kid and we spend a few hours at school, although there could be breaks and adjustments. And then there's, you know, just trying to get stuff done around the building, meal preparation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small key operation. I'm not looking to – when you start having 100 kids, you're not helping them anymore. There's probably – I'm going to guess probably 100,000 kids at least in our country could use this.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't help that many at this shot. But if we can help 5 or 10 a year, that's 5 or 10 that wasn't making it that are now making it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a small – it's more like a – you know, maybe not a family, but you know, more like a working together little community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how to totally describe it.
Now, the brochure that you have here says the program ranges from 4 to 12 months. So when you say that you're taking 18 to 22-year-olds, you're not saying this is not like a 4-year commitment for time.
Right.
This is something that you can do. And that get what you said earlier, this you basically expedite the process.
Right. And it may even go past 12 months if there's a need, you know, depending on what the education need is.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't, you know, we have to set the time based on what the young man needs.
Mm-hmm.
The young man wants to succeed in 4 months and needs to get through 3 years of high school. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if the kid is doing, you know, remembers most of his schooling stuff and just needs the structure and needs to finish, 4 months is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't establish that until we actually get to know the situation, you know, what the exact time is. And, you know, again, what size doesn't fit all. So, every you know, people may say, well, you should, you know, well, you need to come up with that. But how do you come up with that? Because one person may need 5 months and one person may need 6 months and 2 days. You know what I'm saying? It depends on the need. And I don't want to get so structured that we lose the idea of how to help the person.
A sense of individuality.
There is a sense of individuality. I mean, you got to have some, you got to have structure and you got to have give and take. You can't just have anything goes, but at the same time, try to find things that work for each individual need.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of needs, you're obviously a small operation. You basically set this up yourself.
Right.
You are the guy that wears all of the hats. I assume that New Horizons Christian School would benefit from some support.
Oh, definitely.
What are the things that would really help your school in being able to help more students?
As far as, you know, the needs of, you know, anything with anything financial, of course, is good. We're a low key operation. We figured out, I don't have the exact figures here, but for about a year, for about four students, we can operate in about $24,000-$25,000 a year.
That's remarkable.
Which is very low.
I doubt that there are many families out there with two, three children that could operate on $24,000-$25,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, we've got the building and we've got the facilities. That's half the battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you don't, and I'm just working as a volunteer, so that, you know, when you don't have staff salaries, and that, now when we expand more than what I can do, we're going to need more financials to be able to hire somebody, because you can't find a volunteer all that often.
Mm-hmm.
But for about $24,000, and of course, you know, you just got the basic needs of food, and, you know, basically it's food and utilities are our biggest expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And utilities aren't that much. I mean, you know, I mean, they're normal, but I mean, when you're thinking, the place has to be heated and air conditioned, you know, with these warmer, you know, Missouri summers.
It's a little easier. Yeah, we're finding our electric bills a little bit lower than it was back in Illinois. And certainly our property taxes, as you former Illinois, and you would know as well, our property taxes
here are.
Love the Ozarks and the cost of living here.
I do too. But yeah, financial help would be a, you know, big blessing. And if someone wants to provide a scholarship or even wants to provide for, you know, specific needs like, you know, for food or transportation or... We are a 501c3, so it is tax deductible.
Okay. And what's the best way for people to get in touch with you then?
We have what information should
We've got the website here. We've got we'll put a link to the website in the show notes at vftb.net. But the website is New Horizons CS for New Horizons Christian School, newhorizonscs.org. is the website, and I presume you've got contacted. Yes, it says right there, contact us, right there on the page.
Yeah.
And it also has a map showing where it's located, which is Union Track Road. There's got to be a story behind that.
There must be, but I don't know it at this point. Well, there were a lot of Civil War battles in this area.
There absolutely were. We're not that far from the Wilson's Creek battlefield right here.
Okay.
In fact, just north of here is the Wire Road, which was a road that I believe was the road taken during the Trail of Tears as the Shawnee were moved out from the Trail of Tears. I'm sorry. I'm confusing that with the Cherokee.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a lot of historic stuff that goes back a couple hundred years in this part of Missouri. More Civil War battles around here than people ever figured. I expect, you know, possible other things that might be useful to you, like computer equipment and...
Computer equipment, yes. Those would definitely come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some computers. We actually inherited some of the stuff from a previous Christian school up in Wisconsin.
Oh, wonderful.
That was a Christian boarding school.
Cool.
So I do have their computers, but at this stage, I don't know what Windows operating system it is. It's XP, is it? Or XP, so you know it's a little outdated.
Yeah, and it's still functional, but you don't want to go beyond, Windows 7 is about the last good one they have. I got Windows 10 on a laptop, and I'm ready to turn it into a Linux machine or trade it for a Mac, except that Macs have priced themselves out of our market. Anyway. But anyway, Ed, it is really good to see you again. We've been here almost a year now, and I had hoped to get up there before. It seemed like every week something popped up that made it difficult to make the drive up. So I'm glad you made it down here. And again, for people listening, we'll put links in the show notes to the New Horizons Christian School. Ed Apita is the founder, director, cook, maintenance man, and also the educator behind this. The vision that you have for the school, I mean, I know that you're not hoping to, you know, expand out and turn it into a multi-campus university, right, or anything like that. But if you could express your vision in just a few sentences for the school, how would you describe it?
Eventually, I'd like to move up to, you know, maximum about 40 or 50 kids, and also go both genders, because there are girls out there who are losing it, you know, who need help too.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our goal, is to get up to there. We can't help everybody, and keeping it small is what is important. A lot of these kids need one-on-one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's also getting the word out to these kids too. That's also the challenge we've got too.
Well, hopefully that this program will help in some small way to at least make a few more people aware of it. New Horizons Christian School, Milo, Missouri. Ed Apita is the founder and the director, and an old old opponent in high school debate. Ed, wonderful to see you again. We appreciate you taking some time out of your day today, especially since you've got other things to do today, to sit and talk with us. But hopefully this will be of some help to folks.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, we'll see you again, I'm sure, because we're not planning on going anywhere anytime soon. Coming up on A View from the Bunker, we've got a couple of programs that you're going to find really interesting. Richard Shaw, who is a published or director and a producer of the film The Torah Codes, has got some information about the string of announcements coming out of Israel in recent months of prominent rabbis, Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox rabbis. And to be frank, some of these are Kabbalists, so they're engaging in what is, frankly, the occult. But there is a string of announcements coming out about the arrival of Messiah being imminent. Now, again, we don't put any stock in prophecy that's not contained in the pages of the Bible, but it is interesting to note that these scholars are seeing something coming, and so it's important for us to be aware of it, even if it's, well, it's important for us to be informed. If for no other reason than understanding what other people believe helps us to understand why they do what they do. So that program will be coming up on the 14th of February. Richard Shaw describing the latest in the Torah codes. And then still on the books here, we just need to confirm dates and times. L.A. Marzulli, who will be here in the Ozarks shortly to talk about Watchers 10 and also his new daily broadcast. So we've got that. And Sheila Zielinski, going to be making a trip down here to the Ozarks in March, so we're actually going to get her on Skywatch TV, but to hope to talk with her soon about her book, Green Gospel, and some of the ulterior motives of the radical environmentalist movement. That's what's ahead on A View from the Bunker. Our weekly Bible study, the Gilbert House Fellowship, we post it every week on Sundays, usually before noon, 1 hour each on Old Testament and New Testament. And it's really intriguing because we didn't plan it this way, but how often the weekly studies will interlock as though it had been planned. In other words, Jesus making reference to something in the life of David that we had just studied that week in the book of 1 Samuel. So you'll find that every week online at gilberthouse.org. Give us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you find us. And, of course, you'll find the View from the Bunker page at Facebook, the place where we have all of the discussion about the programs here. Just look for, well, you'll find the link in the show notes. Find the link at the website, vftb.net. A View from the Bunker is a production of Gilbert House and released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. The opening theme is by Kevin MacLeod. His website is incompetech.com. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is A View from the Bunker.